and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For teaching and preaching from the Word of God, who have not been born again, and they're trying to teach spiritual truth to spiritually dead people in the main, and that's just not going to work. And that's why you have all of the diversity out there in the world, and that's why you have all of these outlandish ideas as far as the Word of God is concerned. Now, to you and I, we're looking at elementary things this morning. It's elementary to you that you must be born again. But to the world, it's not elementary. To the world, it's not understandable. As a matter of fact, if you ask them, what does it mean to be born again? Well, you'll get a lot of ideas, and you'll get a lot of ideas that come from a natural or fleshly mind that would make no sense to us at all. So he points out that it is a fact, and there is no exception to it, that a man must be born of water, that natural birth that, you know, we go through when we come into this world. The child is encased there in the womb in water. That's what he's speaking of. And he's speaking of a spiritual birth, one that the Spirit of God himself comes and borns one again, and making their spirit alive to where they can do spiritual things, such as trust in Christ and all spiritual things that are involved after that. So one is of the flesh, has to do with the flesh. One birth does, the other birth has to do with the Spirit. All of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two different things we're talking about. Two completely different things we're talking about. One not having to do with the other. As we think about the flesh, I want to read a few verses of Scripture concerning the flesh in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. Paul says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Prior to that, he says in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Now, that's the flesh. The flesh is not subject to the law, though all flesh one day will stand before God and be judged because of their sin. They're condemned in the flesh, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. You go out here and tell a lost person that all they need to do is love God like he loves them. Well, they're at enmity against God, or they are enemies of God, and they are at odds with God in every way. And there's no way that the flesh as we read in verse 8, can please God. Neither is there any way that the flesh can be subject to the law of God. You give a person a list of things that they should do and shouldn't do and say, well, if you stick pretty close to this, you'll be okay. Not so. We're dealing with the flesh. And that's why Jesus said the flesh is flesh. Now, Nicodemus, no doubt, didn't have a full grasp of what the flesh really was. People are deceived about their own flesh and their carnal minds, and they think in their minds, you know, they can be friends with God or have peace with God and all this. You hear quite often talk of people telling others that they need to make their peace with God. Well, how do you do that? How does a carnal-minded, fleshly man make peace with God? It's not possible to do that. So we understand more than that flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. That's what the flesh is. Now, since we've been saved, we know what the flesh is, don't we? We understand that. And we understand in our daily lives that the flesh, that old flesh that we still have, that old flesh still lusteth against the Spirit. Now, even in the saved, you have this war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Why you can't live a perfect life after you're saved. You're still in the flesh. And the old flesh doesn't want to live that way. And the old flesh is not satisfied like the spiritual man is. And the spiritual man, you know, he'll say, well, he'll wake up in the morning, well, I need to do things for the Lord today, and I need to accomplish this for the Lord, and here's the old flesh over here. Now you're too tired. Now you got this to do. You got that to do. And it's war back and forth, back and forth. So we understand what Jesus is talking about. But again, Nicodemus, he's dead in his sins. And, you know, these things aren't making sense to him. And that's why in verse 7, that Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For Jesus is staying there the whole time. He knows everything that's going on in Nicodemus's mind, and all the questions that are in there, and all the thoughts that are in his mind. Jesus knows all about that. And he says, don't marvel at these things. Don't stand there thinking that I have told you some outlandish things. These are things that are true, and these are things that happened every day and happen among all of mankind. Always. These things are always going on as far as mankind is concerned. And the fact is that all men must be born again. That's a fact. Remember, there are no exceptions. Anyone that has ever gone to heaven, anyone who is ever going to heaven, has been born again. You know, people have said a lot of things about the Old Testament saints, how they were saved and all this, you know. They were saved by faith. After God born them again and enabled them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In every age, it's the same. You must be born again. When babies die, and I believe babies go to heaven, I believe God borns them again. You say, you believe something crazy like that? God was asking Nicodemus, or telling Nicodemus he had to be born again. And he told Nicodemus, if you're going to heaven, you got to be born again. And I don't think it's any strain on God's power at all to born again a baby. No problem with God. You can disagree with that if you want. I won't get mad if you disagree, but I will say you must be born again if you're going to heaven. All people. So marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Flesh cannot enter into the kingdom of God, and carnality cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again of the Spirit. You must be made spiritual alive. Now, since Nicodemus is confused and still doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about, he gives him an example in verse 8 of this new birth, because, you know, Nicodemus is thinking, well, I can't go back into my mother's womb again. And he's thinking this way. And he's not seeing with spiritual eyes because he doesn't have any. So Jesus says the wind, and he uses the wind as an example of the Holy Spirit. He says, the wind blow it where it listeth, or where it wishes. Now, you can walk outside here and on a windy day in a week or so, when all these leaves are all over the place, and you can say, well, the leaves are blowing towards that field, so I'm going to go that way. I'm going to take them that way. And everything will be all right. And you get about halfway across the parking lot, and all of a sudden all the leaves are going this way. You don't know where that wind's coming from. You can look on your phone, and it says 5 mile per hour wind coming from the southwest, but you walk outside, yeah, that might not be so. So the wind goes wherever it wants. Man has no power over the wind. I was fighting a big forest fire one time. Flames were lapping at my feet, and I was trying to get away. I knew where a pond was, and I was running that pond fast as I could go. And got to the pond and turned around and looked. The fire was going this way because the wind turned it around. I'm glad it did. But, you know, we don't have any control over that whatsoever. So the wind blow it where it listeth, or where it wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. You can hear it. You can hear the effects of the wind. And the wind does have effects. Now, this wind that Jesus is talking about, it could be a gentle breeze. Or it could be a tornado, you know. That's all in the hands of God. And we have no control over that. And so it is with this new birth. It may be that God come in gently and reveal himself to a sinner. And, nobody see it coming, but then all of a sudden that sinner declares that they've trusted Christ as their Savior. We hear the sound of the wind. We see the results of the wind. It could be this other sinner sitting over here, this notorious sinner who no one thought would ever be saved, that God might come in with a very strong wind and move on that person's life dramatically. Maybe people getting hurt, maybe people dying, all kinds of things, and save that individual. That's God's business. And as we all know, and if we stood around and talked about it, we'd give our testimony to one another, and we'd find that, there's different circumstances in us all, how that Christ brought us to saving faith, but one common thing we have is a new birth, that we were all born again, and that was all accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God coming and making our spirit that is dead alive, causing us to be new creatures. But you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. No doubt. The new birth is a mysterious thing. Not so mysterious that we don't know what Jesus is talking about, like Nicodemus, but nonetheless it is a mysterious thing, isn't it? Mysterious in that we don't know when it's coming. We know it comes from God. We understand that. The new birth does. And we know it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. But still, it is mysterious. Even as death is mysterious to us. Not that we don't know where we go after we die. But heaven's still a mysterious place, isn't it, to us? We have been given a glimpse of heaven in the Scriptures. But to say we understand all that and know all that, that's not true. It's mysterious. And so it is with the new birth. Well, after this explanation that Jesus gives Nicodemus, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" He still doesn't understand, does he? He's still not able to comprehend. It's not the fact that the teacher or the preacher was unable to explain the Word of God, for Jesus was the best teacher that ever will be. But it's a matter of this new birth that people can't understand. Some people grow up in church from their youth and then continue on, and maybe the rest of their lives come to church. And time after time after time, they sit in a pew, and I've been back here behind the pulpit, and I've looked out at people and thought to myself, all these years, you've heard this, all these years, and you still don't know, which I realize they're dead, and that's Nicodemus's problem. Nicodemus was no dummy. Nicodemus wasn't handicapped mentally that he couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying. He was dead. Dead. Dead people can't hear, dead people can't see, dead people can't do anything, dead people can't get up and go. They can't do anything. Spiritually, they can do nothing. So how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You're a teacher? You're a teacher and you don't understand this? And I'll tell you, if a teacher, someone who handles the Word of God, doesn't understand the new birth, then the people are in trouble. They're just in trouble. And the fact is that many don't understand you must be born again. As simple and as elementary to you and I, it's still a major religious problem in the world today. I've seen surveys where people were asked, what does it mean to be born again? And the biggest part of them will say they have been, but they have no idea. Even what it is. Their profession is not the new birth. A profession, a true profession, is the result of a new birth, not the new birth. So art thou a master of Israel, the people of God, and you're teaching them? Then we run into another verily, verily. In verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Every week in this country there are trials that take place. And the prosecution and the lawyers, they'll find their own witnesses to speak at that trial, to give testimony at that trial. And they base who they want as a witness on what they know. You know, if Roger slapped Steve and Natalie sat back there and saw the whole thing, well, she'd be a good witness. She could say, I saw it. I saw what happened. But why would I go out here outside, knock on a door and ask them if they want to be a witness? He wouldn't be a good witness, but so a witness then tells what they know. Somebody that was there tells what they know. Something that knows something about the situation. So Jesus says, we speak that we do not. Jesus knows, doesn't he? Jesus knows how we're born again. And others who have been born again know something about that too. We speak that we know. Now, you may not, people may not understand what we're saying. They might not even believe what we're saying. We know what we're saying. We know what happened. We were there. I wasn't there when you all were saved, but I was with me when I was saved. And I know what happened, and I know who I was, and then all of a sudden I wasn't was, and I knew what I believed, and all of a sudden didn't believe anymore. I know all about that. And there's nobody here this morning that could convince me any different of that. No matter how hard you tried to convince. No matter how much you threatened me. Even if you threatened to kill me, if I changed my, I know what I know. So when we're called to be witnesses, you know, for the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we are to go out and tell people what we know and what we've seen and what we've experienced. We don't witness of someone else's testimony, you know. If I was unsaved, I would have, and I went out to do that, I would have to borrow your testimony. But, well, this is what Roger says it feels like. This is what Roger says that happened to him. But what about what happened to me? I know. Unless I'm not born again, then I don't know, you see. So what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is that he's a master or teacher of Israel, and he doesn't know anything. Doesn't know the most important thing, you must be born again. Doesn't even know that. And he says, those of the Spirit speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. They just won't believe it. They can't believe it. It's impossible for them to believe. Even though we are eyewitnesses. Think of the apostles as they walked with Jesus daily, and they sat under his preaching daily and were taught by him and experienced all these marvelous things, and they would go into a town and they'd begin to speak about, you know, that, and people would just say, I don't believe that. I don't want to hear that. Even though you're telling them from an eyewitness account, they cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Now you can go through South Shore here later and see a train maybe come down the tracks, derail, take out a dozen houses, and people lose their attention and wreck their cars, and maybe 20 cars piled up. Here's the train over here, and here's houses on fire and all that. And you can go about anywhere and say, I was in South Shore yesterday when that happened. What happened? And you tell that big story. Oh, my goodness. And you can even exaggerate. Oh, that was horrific. And just go on and on. People just eat that up. But you can go into the same city and stop and tell somebody that you were a sinner on your way to hell, and God stopped you in your tracks and born you again and saved you, and now I'm this new creature and I'm a member of King's Edition Baptist Church. Oh, I wish you'd come and go to church. Well, I don't want to hear that. Fleshly things and spiritual things. They could believe the train wreck, but they just can't believe the spiritual things. And he tells Nicodemus, ye receive not our witness, the witness of God himself, neither the witness of Christ's believers. And I'm going to put a start on verse 12.